My bills are all due, and the babies need shoes, but I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted. I got a cow that's gone dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, 'cause I'm busted. I called on my brother to ask for a loan, 'cause I was busted. Lord, I hate to beg like a dog for a bone, but I'm busted. My brother said there ain't a thing I can do. My wife and my kids are all down with the flu. And I was just thinking about calling on you, 'cause I'm busted.
Didn't have my sound up here, man. Yeah, he's busted. Yeah. He's going to get out of town. I don't know where in hell he's going to go make some money, but he's busted. He might even have to join the army and go kill people to stay alive himself. Isn't that the way it is? Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker on a Moon's Day, June the 16th, 2014, and we're losing our full moon, and we'll be going back to no moon after a while. Okay, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations for the radio show and any other donations you'd like to send along. And we do send a few things off to the POWs, and they're glad to get it. So anyhow, let's get on with the show. Well, on C-SPAN this morning, I was sitting there watching the Idiot Box, and they came up on with this writer. His name is George Michael. I'm not sure whether that's Jewish or not, but it don't make any difference. He's a writer, and he attacks the right wing pretty badly. Of course, anybody that does anything racially is a right winger. You know that, no matter what you say or what you do. Anyhow, he's all hooked up with the SPLC and all that. He gave a presentation today because he's come out with a new book called Lone Wolf Terrorism and the Rise of Leaderless Resistance. Wow. That's my line. He didn't mention my name, but he was going through with this whole thing about right-wing extremism. But he balanced it out with attacking some of the left-wing stuff too, and some of the other racial groups like the Black Panthers and so forth. So anyhow, I was going to play the interview or the lecture back to you, but it seemed like that'd be a waste of time, because same old thing. We're bad, but we're not very bad. We're not bad enough, but maybe we might get bad, and got to watch us, because if we get bad, we're going to be really bad. But I don't think they're going to get bad. that's the nature of his book. That's you just read a 300-page book. Gave this speech at Westmoreland University, wherever that's at, in case you're close to it. Well, I changed the old bulletin board out front of the house. It says 75% of all wars and genocide start with religion. We had some Christ Insanity people that go by here on the way to church yesterday, and I thought they were going to run off the road, man. It's amusing to watch them eyeball something like that. They're not used to that. They're not used to you saying religion is a big problem. Yeah. Anyhow, we'll keep that up for a week, and then we'll change it to another sign, equally offensive. Got a call from Sling Blade yesterday. He's still out there. I don't know where, but he's still out there. And he says he's making some new shows. I sent him a recorder several months ago, and he told me he lost it. And I said, well, I don't think you lost it. I think, well, you misplaced it or something. Oh, no. So yesterday he calls me and says, I found that recorder you sent me. And I'll have to send him a note on how to record on the thing, because most people talk too close to the mic and turn sideways and all that kind of stuff in it to try to make an audio track for a radio show. That doesn't work out too good. His recorder is just a little digital portable recorder. You know, half the time I'm listening out my right ear to some of the right, out of my left ear to some of the left, and out my nose to something in the middle. I heard this morning. It was, I don't know what was recorded this morning, but some of these shows I record off of are on during the day, and then they play them at night and in the wee hours of the morning. So about 7 o'clock this one comes on. I was laying there, and I thought this sounded pretty good. And this is from a progressive.
U.S. occupation of Iraq. None of the Arab forces that were willing to fight with us in Kuwait were willing to invade Iraq. Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government of Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. Part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west. Part of eastern Iraq the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far and try to take Iraq. The other thing was casualties. Everyone was impressed with the fact that we were able to do our job with as few casualties as we had. But for the 146 Americans killed in action and for their families, it wasn't a cheap war. And the question for the president in terms of whether or not we went on to Baghdad and took additional casualties in an effort to get Saddam Hussein was how many additional dead Americans is Saddam worth? And our judgment was not very many, and I think we got it right.
So for the 140 or so Americans who perished in the first Gulf War, it wasn't cheap. But what about the thousands who perished in the latest one? Well, your administration recommended we go shopping. Was it cheap for them? What was so expensive in 1994 for that cost us 143 lives? That was cheap in 2003. 866-99 Sirius.
The two-faced son of a bitch, Cheney, as he talked in, what, 2004, was it? And what he talked about when he went into the, him and crazy-ass George Bush Jr. decided to invade, occupy, and murder a whole bunch of people in Iraq. His argument in the beginning was the same way most of us argue. It's a bunch of bullshit. That just shows you how they can, these political types, they can never be trusted. There's nothing there that's there. Those bastards could turn on a dime and go the other way. Those are the kind of people that if you and I were in power, they'd be kissing our ass and following every order we gave them. But you couldn't trust them as far as you could throw them. And that's what kind of guys they are. Just think of that. Of course, I think some of that came after, or I mean before, they decided to build a almost $1 billion headquarters there in Iraq. Now, you know as well as I do, nearly a $1 billion headquarters had nothing to do with building an infrastructure for the Iraqi people. That was going to be their big central headquarters for handling all the oil and all the commerce that they were going to screw out of the Iraqi people. But it just didn't work out that way. So now they don't know what to do. No, yeah, they know what to do. It's go to war again. You know, so Obama sends 500 Marines over there on a ship out there off the coast. Who knows? They may be inside by now. What gets me is when they say, all this pressure is on Obama to go in there and go in there and go in there, even though he may not want to go in there, all this pressure. Bullshit! He's not running for office again. He can do whatever he wants. If he don't want to go in there, he don't have to go in there. You should say, no, we're not doing that. Done that, tried that, it didn't work out. In fact, let's get the hell out of Afghanistan even before we're supposed to get out of Afghanistan. And he can do it, too. But, you know, they're all puppets. They got to check with the corporations and the Halliburtons and all those people before they make a move. That's right. You got it. Forget, boys and girls, I try to remember or remind you of this all the time. There is no equality. I hear they've gotten away with genocide and murder based on equality. Equality is their big thing, which they know it's not true. Anybody in power knows equality is not true. Just raw power has nothing to do with equality. Anyhow, like I say, always remember any paragraph or any thought that somebody's trying to convey to you, and they use the term rights or equality, those two words discount the entire discussion, because in reality they don't exist except in the mythology and wishes of a lot of people. Another word I look on as being suspect and not very usable, and that is hope, H-O-P-E. You sit around hoping something's going to change or something's going to happen, and you're wasting your time by the very word hope. Or wish is another one. It's not as commonly used, but it's just as useless as the others. Anyhow, you can see what we've got over there in Iraq. It's the same way all over the place. In fact, all over the world, the religion is the basis, the instigator, of the largest percentage of killing. Now look how stupid this is in Iraq. You got the Sunnis and the Shiites. They're both Muslim, and their main difference is over Muhammad and his brother-in-law or son-in-law or some shit that goes way back into time immemorial that probably didn't even happen at all. And they're willing to, just like yesterday, the last couple of days, the one side lines up 1,200-1,500 of the other side and blows them away for Allah. And believe me, things get down to brass tacks in this country, these radical Christians will do the same thing. Believe me, I know. You know a lot of them, and a lot of them are fairly nice people. but I'm just surprised I haven't gotten a rock at my sign since yesterday when I put it up. Because I felt like if I'm stepping on the toes of this organized and very profitable fanaticism we have here in the Midwest and all over the country, that there's going to be some slight problems. That's why I have made gates in my fence around my house here and made a new driveway down behind my house so I can put my cars down there. I can hide my cars. You know, what? Never anything real bad yet, but I did get a rock through a window about 8 or 9 months ago. It cost me quite a bit of money to replace it. I got it used, so anyhow. But anyhow, once in a while I get hit with two or three eggs, which, you know, is no big deal except cleaning that shit off your car. So I'm preparing for the onslaught by putting my vehicles in the backyard out of sight. And I've got a pretty good patio fence. The press said it looked like a stockade. So anyhow, that's the nature of the thing. And this religious fanaticism is going to spread into the United States, just like it was here once before. Remember when the Mormons were killing people, and regular Christians were killing the Mormons, and all that stuff, and the witch trials up there? They brought all that shit over here from Europe, putting people in stocks and all that kind of stuff. Believe me, these fanatics are something else. You can hear them on the radio all the time. They don't, in California, mostly they have the religious stuff on the weekend. But here in the Midwest, it's 24 hours a day. That's why I put my little external transmitter on and put stuff on here that can be heard for a couple of blocks. So anyhow, that's the story there, boys and girls. Equality, rights. And I'm sure you can think of a couple of more that are just total lies. But yet people are going to war and killing each other by the masses. I mean, let's face it. It might piss some of you off, but Hitler went by the Old Testament. He was fulfilling the Old Testament, just like the Jews did in the Old Testament. Annihilate them all, man. Or as many as you can. Oh, boy. Let's see what else we can find out here. I finally got my newer Windows 8 working right. Got myself a Windows 6 or 7, I forget which, desktop like I like, instead of that crazy-ass Windows 8 deal. And also, I couldn't get Windows Defender because they made some kind of deal with... I forget the name of that outfit that's got Norton. They made some kind of a deal with Norton. Anyhow, there's an outfit called bitdefender.com. It's free, and it's supposed to be really good, so we're using that now, bitdefender.com. So anyhow, I'm happy. My computer that has got Windows 8 in it is now... have a desktop of Windows 7, so I know what the hell I'm doing. With the help of a couple of people, I figured out my mixer program on that computer also. Thank you. In case you know anybody that likes Linux, I've got a computer here I picked up real cheap. If any of you people out there want it, I'll give you almost a free deal on it, but shipping. It's got Primus, what is that? It's got Linux Mint 15 in it. Fired it up. Seems like it works fine. And this big old tower, Dell. It's a a good Dell machine. I got a couple of others like it. So if you like Linux, there's probably a deal for you. Let me know. I got it for almost nothing. But that computer weighs about 40 pounds, so it's going to cost a few bucks to ship it. But still, it would be a cheap deal. I just got an email in here from one of our friends up in Canada. He's still pretty conservative, really, but which is a waste of time. It's over. That part of the struggle is over. And he's crying about people would only listen to us and listen to us, and they're going to put a lesbian in office and all this kind of stuff. He went on for paragraph after paragraph, and I just closed with saying, hey, worse is better. It's not better for the right wing, because they shot their wad and they're through. But for us, worse is better. What can I tell you? Chaos serves the purpose. Sorry, Wolf Wall Street. If you'll read between the lines of this guy that wrote this book about lone wolf leaderless resistance, quite a compliment to our side, to us, the insurgent. He might, but he went into all these other people. But anyhow, what if you read between the lines, you can see things are proceeding along pretty good, because North America is going to fracture up. And how that will exactly play itself out is hard to say, but it's going to have a lot to do with who's got the balls. And I have no qualms that there's still a percentage of the white race has got the balls, because they always have down through history. And when it really gets down to the front door, kitty bar the door shut, there's the man under the bed. So let's not be pessimistic too much. If you're a system person, you should be very pessimistic. If you're a right winger, you should be crying your eyes out and hiding under the bed. Yes. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, you should be sobbing, you know, because you don't have an answer. Well, you may have the answer, but you wouldn't possibly try to put it into action if your heart depended on it. So anyhow, and Obama, just think of it. He's up there in the Oval Office today just worrying. Shall I send the troops? Shall I not send the troops? Shall I send more troops? Shall I drone them? Shall I this? Shall I that? He's probably sitting in there drinking some Chevez Regal and reading dirty magazines. Come on, boys. Incidentally, on that All Nations Party thing that I put out, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, of course, it's myth, and it's not the way it's going to happen. I want to see something similar happen, but it's going to have to be the clash of the titans to get it. There's not going to be any pacifist way of changing this thing. Dividing up this country is going to be blood, sweat, and tears, much worse than the Civil War, the other Civil War. I mean, you think the other Civil War was mean? Woo-hoo-hoo, wow. This one's going to get real mean, but it's got to be. It's got to be. Now, it would be a lot less bloody if every faction, for at least a couple of years, turned their weapons towards the system itself. Yeah, just totally go anti-system and don't get into the interseniory wars. And then after that's done, see whether we can work something out. But it's going to be almost impossible to work anything out if you're fighting the system with one hand and fighting these other groups with another hand. So anyhow, if you know any of these black boys and these Chicanos and say, look, don't you think we ought to all take a break and go after the real problem, and then we can solve all these other problems, or most of them? And if you still want to fight, well, bring it on. You know, a lot of this BS on the web reminds me of sort of the conditions before World War I. everybody was walking around with a head up their ass and not really knowing what's going to happen and not really knowing what to do and all that kind of stuff. Well, listen here. Of course, it isn't yet clear what Eric Cantor's stunning and decisive defeat at the hands of an unknown challenger with 1/20 the campaign funds means for the direction of the House GOP. Well, let me tell you something. If the big boys hadn't wanted this guy in there, or if they really didn't, or unless they were ambivalent to it, he wouldn't have got in. So I know you're all saying, oh, what an upset. On domestic issues, including immigration, Cantor has been a chameleon. You mean he's been a Jew. An establishment figure, a reformer, a young gun. Can you imagine Cantor with a gun and in his underwear? A Tea Party insurgent with legislative tactician skills, a supporter of immigration reform and amnesty, a.k.a. amnesty. Was he, Cantor, did they say he was part of the Tea Party thing? That's funny. That's hilarious. And then a professed opponent of the same immigration reform. So he, well, what's new about a Jew being two-faced? I should note that there was a time in the 1990s when immigration reform, you know, we went through this in the 80s. Americans don't remember anything. Fucking, they don't remember nothing. Simpson-Mazzoli, remember that? Simpson-Mazzoli went through and was made law that they were going to not only deport all these bastards, but they were going to put guys in prison for hiring them. It's all there. Dig it out. You can get it on the internet, Simpson-Mazzoli. But you know what the secret was? You want to kill something? You just don't put up the money to do it. If it's a war, like going to Afghanistan or Iraq, they got plenty of money, man. They can get plenty of money. But to take care of the problem of illegal aliens and illegal aliens in the workplace and so forth, no, they just didn't put any money behind it. You can pass all the laws in the world. It's just like the DAs in every city. They've got so many cases. You know, a lot of them are murder cases. And they only got so much money allocated to prosecute. So they take either the high-profile ones or the ones that are easy to get them to plea bargain down. That's what they do. Or a racialist. Anybody that's in a racist, they got plenty of money in the budget to go after him forever. Almost like a Auschwitz camp guard. Forever and ever and ever, man. So most of you people don't realize that. So many murders are not even thoroughly investigated because they don't want to spend the money. And so if they've got a special axe to grind, they'll spend the money. Otherwise, no. Where was I here? And then a professed opponent of the same immigration reform. I should note that there was a time in the 1990s when immigration reform meant tightening the borders and tinkering with the legal immigration system so it was more skills-based, less based on your brother's wife got in a few years ago, so you're now eligible by visa. Well, no, Simpson-Mazzoli was pretty hardcore. Simpson-Mazzoli said, we're going to round these sons of bitches up and get rid of them. And we're going to put anybody, any CEO in jail that hires these guys. So it wasn't just tinkering around, but no, they didn't back it. The people wanted it, but if the government don't want it, and it somehow gets into law, they just don't finance it. The only ads I've seen from David Brott, the surprising victor, attacking Cantor's readiness to hang out with the big money immigration boosters. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Oh, another Jew. While ignoring the labor market and the wage impact large-scale immigration has for voters in the district. Continuing on there, I got interrupted by a call. One issue wasn't talked about. No. Although I wonder if it's subliminally registered with some anti-Cantor voters. Cantor in 2010 more or less presented himself as Bibi Netanyahu, nitwit from down in Israel, as his congressman, newly elevated by the GOP House takeover as the incoming majority leader. He held a private meeting with the Likud leader of the New York Regency. No other Americans were present. Netanyahu was joined by Israel's ambassador and national security advisor. Did you read about this on Fox News? Did you hear about it on MSNBC? It was a tense time in American-Israel relations. The Obama administration was pushing hard for progress on peace talks. Oh, can't have peace. Piss on peace. Can't make any money with peace. And trying to get Israel to stop expanding settlements on the West Bank during the negotiations, and an idea vigorously resisted by Israel's government. You know, there's thousands of people now leaving Europe, and they're headed for Israel. You realize how small that little fucking country is? It's nothing but a little teeny spot on the map. They're going to fill it up, I guess, and then the Islamists will declare holy war and attack, and just put Islamic guys shoulder to shoulder and march forward. Even if Israel could knock them out by the thousands, there'd be thousands behind them, sort of like the Chinese in Korea. During the meeting, Cantor gave Nitwit assurances that the House would have his back in any showdown with the Obama administration. The Republicans, he told Nitwit, understand the special relationship, unquote. Special relationship with those bastards. And would obstruct American initiatives, which made Israel uncomfortable. Oh, poor Israel. Ron Campius, a veteran of the centrist observer of U.S.-Israeli relations, said he could not, quote, remember an opposition leader telling a foreign leader in a personal meeting that he would side as policy with that leader against the president, unquote. So Cantor, in his way, was making history. No, this stuff has happened many times before. It's happened many times before. The ties to Israel made Cantor popular in the GOP caucus because they have so many crazy, insane Christians. Pretending, anyhow, to be Christians. Cantor could raise money more easily than other southern congressmen from pro-Israel billionaires, for example, and spread it around. Sheldon Adelson poured millions into his PAC. Cantor knew his way around the Regency. More recently, Cantor was spearheaded House opposition to Obama's negotiations with Iran. You see, whether you like it or not, Obama's doing things halfway decent as a black man, and these kikes are trying to undercut him every step of the way. I know the right wing's not going to want to hear what I've got to say. Speaking frequently of Iran in terms that echo Nitwit, his Mideast positions track completely with the Likuds. In other words, a radical right-wing Israeli party, the war party in Israel. Whether it be aid to the Syrian rebels or aid to Egypt after the Sisi coup. Yeah, stir the pot, give them some guns. He may be hard to pin down domestic issues, one day a moderate, the other day a hard rightist, but he's always a hawk, whether it be Ukraine, Syria, or Iran. He will be a force pushing the most belligerent policies. I wonder if this registered in the district in some ways. Pat Lang of the interesting Six Semper Tyrannus blog mediated on Cantor, his congressman, several years ago, wondering whether this sophisticated Richmond lawyer was a natural fit for a district that trends barbecue. Some have pointed to an ethnic angle, which could well be a factor, but it may be simply that conservative Southern Republicans are beginning to get tired of neocons telling them that they have to prepare to fight another war. I don't think so. I think these dumb bastards will go for any war that comes along. I think they're warmongers. Yeah. Even the grandmas.
Let's go kill them, goddammit.
Anti-war Republican Walter Jones won his North Carolina primary earlier this spring, standing strong against a major media assault by Bill Kristol's Emergency Committee for Israel. You know, remember Bill Kristol and the Iraq thing? He was up to his ass in that, up to his neck. Now, in an election result that stunned political observers more than anything that happened in their lifetime, Cantor, the Jew, goes down before an underfunded Tea Party candidate. We'll see what happens with David Brott, but he's already made history. Well, all we have to do, because the Tea Party's not going to go very far, you know, with the country going more and more non-white, they're not going to go very far democratically. They may have another couple of elections to put under their belt, and then they're going to go radical. They got to go radical. Maybe they're not going to be the kind of radical in many cases that we're looking for, but on the other hand, chaos. The Tea Party people will be driven partially into our camp. And if not in our camp, into an equally radical camp. So I see nothing but good things coming out of this. Nothing but good things, boys and girls. Worse is better. Brother Lennon got it straight there. Whoops. I know, Dr. Pierce. Metzger's a filthy little Bolshevik. Well, I take a shower every day there, man. I think you should read this. I'll send it along. It's from the Jews. Yeah, the Jews sent this out. Just to remind you that all the factions that would like to get some power in this country, including Aslan and black militants and everything else, the system's going to oppose them every step of the way, which is good. And the more they oppose and interfere with them and jail them and so forth, the more it's going to blow. And Katie barred the door shut, yeah. So I, my vision of what's coming is quite clear. Nobody wants to talk about what I'm saying, though, in the press. You know, you never see the insurgent mentioned. Even this guy with his book, maybe my name's in that book about Lone Wolf and Leaderless Resistance, but he didn't say anything about it. He talked about a few other people, but and I don't have to have my name in the book. What's coming is coming. There's nothing they can do to stop it. Said before, this country should never have been a nation. It's too big, too many factions, too many racial divisions, religious divisions, and so forth. It never should have been this giant country. So it's got to break up, and it's just going to take time. First thing to do is run it out of money. Let them run out of money, you know, when they're spending billions on armaments and all that, and most of them will never be used. That's a sign of an empire that's self-destructing. They always do. Well, here's a joke I haven't heard in a long time, but it's funny as hell, I'll tell you that. This was told by Hungarian refugees from the failed 56 revolt, on which when I was in basic training, I volunteered to go fight in that Hungarian Revolution. Of course, my captain laughed at me, and so I went back to the bar. No. When the fighting started, in fact, I knew a lot of Hungarian refugees that came over here, and some of them were involved in our right-wing anti-communist Birch Society. When the fighting started, a family went to the basement, bolted the door, and waited for things to calm down. after a day or two had passed in which there was no rifle fire or explosions, the father turned to his eldest son and said, quote, go up to the street and look around. Be very careful. Come back and tell me whether we have communism or capitalism, unquote. Quote, father, how will I know whether we have communism or capitalism, unquote. The father sadly looked at his son, fearful that he had raised a simpleton. Quote, son, if you see young Jews riding around in limousines and smoking cigars, then we have communism. If you see old Jews riding around in limousines smoking cigars, then you'll know we have capitalism, unquote. Been a couple of decades since I heard that joke, but it's probably new to a lot of you, and it's funnier than hell. It's true. It's very, very, very true. Perry, governor of Texas, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's simply playing to the right-wing conservative Christians down there in Texas. He gains his power by picking fights with the homosexuals and stuff like that. It's strictly a scam because he can expect a reaction every time all over the country. But since he's in Texas, where there's millions of these Christians, fundamentalist Christians that go apeshit every time a homo comes down the street, he uses them. He doesn't give a damn about this stuff. He doesn't care. He's a politician using people, and he's using the other side too, because the homos all come running out screaming and yelling, and that's funny. You gotta understand how these guys work. If you don't understand how these jerks work, you're screwed. Incidentally, I had a little break there. Somehow my recorder came on. I don't know how long it was on, but you'll hear some silence. Let's see what the religious channel says about religion. Insurgents from the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria boasted online that they had executed 1,700 people. The New York Times explains the vision for what is now ISIS, where religion is seen as paramount. Referring to citizens under its control, its vision says, quote, improving their conditions is less important than the condition of their religion, unquote. Jeez. Oh, God. Pope Francis and Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby denounced human trafficking earlier today and pledged to combat the issue together. Well, isn't that something? That's really nice. That's what they're really interested in. House Minority Leader Nancy, did I show Tom Metzger Pelosi, called on San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Caltalone to not attend a controversial March for Marriage event on June 19th, which she calls, quote, venom masquerading as virtue, unquote. United Methodists and Presbyterians have been debating divestment to pressure Israel to stop building settlements and head towards a resolution with the Palestinians, which is not going to happen, ever. It ain't going to happen. Those people are not going to come to a peaceful conclusion. And the United Church of Christ regional governing body has passed a resolution that calls for one of its members to boycott the Washington Redskins over its name. It's terrible calling them Redskins. Jeez. I think so, too. Change their name to some Aryan-sounding name, like, Trojans or something like that, you know? Well, there's something to really get your teeth in. The names of football, niggerball teams. Let's see. The Ramadan begins on 28th of June, just at the end of the World Cup, possibly creating a struggle for Muslim players fasting in Brazil's heat. Well, that could be terrible. Possible excommunication talks planned for one of the two Mormon activists with the LDS Church has been pushed back. And another point here, a Muslim entrepreneur has followed a kosher model in finding mainstream success, with Saffron Road Food Company's annual sales approaching $35 million. Well, you see, maybe making lots of money can bring peace to somebody. And the Islamic Sufis have been staging protests in London and in cities across the U.S., saying Italian designer Roberto Cavalli's sexualized use of their sacred symbol as a logo is offensive. The president of Seattle Pacific University announced that a scholarship has been named for the student who stopped a fatal shooting on campus earlier this month. Doesn't do too much for the guy that got it. Finally, a favorite tweet from the weekend during an Anglican Roman Catholic cricket match. Let's see. What does this say? Oh, that's a stupid statement. I'm not even going to tell you about it. Well, my question is quite simple. Some would even call me simple. But the point is, everybody's talking about the environment, and we're eating up our environment, which is caused by more and more people, right? And we're talking about we're moving towards 9 billion people on planet Earth, okay? So why are they worried about these factions over in the Middle East blowing each other away? 1,700 people wasted? That's nothing. So it would seem that this kind of warfare, where you just blow everybody to bits, works into the program of depopulation, you know? It's all right as long as you're not the one being depopulated. So anyhow, it's a... So let's look at it this way. 5,000 numbnuts volunteer to go over there and get killed in the Middle East, even though there's plenty of information around about it, that it was a fake deal and a whole bit. But if they insist on going over there, and those 5,000 American troops kill hundreds of thousands of non-white religious fanatics and people just taking up room, what's wrong with that? Maybe we ought to promote that. Maybe I'll write a letter to Obama today and say, look, I want you to send, if you can find any guys stupid enough to go over there again, get them all together, send them over there, and, you know, we got too many non-whites. They can't hardly feed themselves, so let's start thinking population. Yeah, like the capitalists. But the capitalists have one problem. Well, they got more than one problem, but they have a problem. They got to have customers. If they kill off millions of people, who's going to buy their shit? That's the problem the capitalists have. Well, I'm going to close by reading from the good book, Might is Right. Hate for hate, and Ruth for Ruth, eye for eye, and truth for tooth, scorn for scorn, smile for smile, love for love, and guile for guile, war for war, and wool for woe, blood for blood, and blow for blow. Thou hast listened full oft to the diabolical philosophy of the divine creepling. Love your enemies and bless them that hate you and despitefully use you. But I say unto you, love thy kindred, love thy friends, love thyself, and hate thine enemies with a whole heart. Be a foe to your friend's foe, a friend to your friend's friend, and above all things permit no wrong done unto thee or thine to pass unchallenged, unredressed, unavenged. Let thy motto be, tread not on me. For he that tamely submits to insult and injury is worse than a dog. He's a dastard, a born slave, a Christling. I'm the friend of all brave men, the foe of all cowards. I call up high daring, I cast down despair. An evil spirit hath inoculated our race with the hideous gospel of submissiveness, of degeneracy. Quote, resist not evil. It whines, and if a man smite thee on one cheek, turn to him the other also. But I say unto you, if a man smite you on the cheek, smash him on the other. Resist every evil. Be as a lion in the path. Be dangerous, even in defeat. Courage, I say, courage, and ever more courage. Even stars in their courses are fight for the bold. I like that, and I think that fits. People say you're a hater. Of course I hate my enemies and love my friends and family and so forth. Are you kidding? What an idiot would say, I love my enemies. And they don't love their enemies. They say, these churches, they love their enemies. They hate their enemies. Don't let them kid you. Especially if you go against their beloved Sears Roebuck catalog. I mean, Bible. Yeah. Okay, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. I'm not sure about Stray Dog, whether he'll be around or not. It's a busy time of the year for him. Okay. 14:5 and shut up. One closing thing. I was watching a documentary on George Lincoln Rockwell that's been around a few times, and about Cohen in Chicago, Frank Cohen. And I watched the whole thing. I didn't see any place in there where they exposed Frank Collin as a Jew. Maybe they briefly said it someplace, but I don't think they did. Which shows you how intellectually dishonest and crooked the opposition is.
Chasing lasses by the moon. Late.